Here on Mosaic today, we have a chance to catch up with Professor Will Anderson. He is with Broadcast and Cinematic Arts at Central Michigan University. And when last we spoke, the subject was and is radio drama, but a lot of things have changed, certainly, since then. Will, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us today. We appreciate it.
Wow, thanks for having me here, David. I really appreciate getting a chance to talk to you.
It was a three-year project, grant-funded project that you had at Beaver Island, and we were talking, I think, recapping somewhat of years one and two and laying out what was the anticipated, we emphasize anticipated, culmination of that this past, what would have been this past May, up at Beaver Island. And then mid-March, of course, changed everything for everyone. So briefly, let's get a sense of where that project then was left and where you sort of pick up on that from here.
Well, to talk about the project, to frame it, it was an attempt to kind of get oral histories of Beaver Island lore and go to bring a group of honors students to Beaver Island, and they'd go around and they would basically write small audio drama vignettes about the many bits of history that are on Beaver Island. It's an island that's just so full of very cool oral history, oral traditions, events that have taken place. And so in 2018, I kind of did a proof of concept with it and took a group of honor students, and we stayed at the biological station there, and they went to the museum and they researched Beaver Island history, and they crafted it down to a series of small, probably 5 to 7 minute vignettes that kind of encapsulated Beaver Island. And then we produced those live in the studio with some post-production. We'd have the students act them out, and we'd record that, and then we'd add sound effects and music afterwards. And then we broadcasted it on the Beaver Island radio station, WVBI, and it was quite successful. And then in 2019, I said, well, how can I change this? How can I make this more inclusive? And so that group of honor students, again, they went and they researched Beaver Island history. But this time they performed it live at the Beaver Island Community Center in front of a live audience. And they did the music and the sound effects at the exact same time. And then we recorded that and broadcast that the next day on WVBI. This year, in 2020, we were supposed to go and actually seek out Beaver Island residents and, again, do a live performance, but talk to them instead of going through the books and the library and history and actually capturing oral histories from people and then turning those into vignettes. But 2020 did not happen. And so I'm not certain if 2021, if that's a go, or if it's not, everything's kind of up in the air on it. And it's too bad because I got everything running so smoothly that now we're just kind of left going, what else can we do? How can we use these skills of creating oral histories and capturing them and making them into audio drama sort of things for public consumption?
So with official university forms and all kinds of grant applications and paperwork and so on and so forth, it is acknowledged that extraordinary circumstances having preempted 2020, that this could carry over now and still be completed, all things being equal, in 2021.
Quite possibly. I still have connections with Beaver Island, with the radio station and with the theater. The one thing that's up in the air right now, well, there's two things. One, we don't know with travel if things will be back to somewhat normal in 2021, but we also had a change in the leadership of the honors program over the past year. We have a new person in, and I have not spoken with her or I don't know what the status of that project is. So I think that will be something that I'll probably be told what if it's a go or not. And I think there's so many factors that are with that beyond my ability. And I think the logistics I can do, but, you know, is it financially viable? Is it Is air conditions favorable for travel right now? I don't think there's any university travel going on. So we're kind of landlocked right here in Mount Pleasant.
Speaking with Will Anderson, professor at the School of Broadcast and Cinematic Arts at Central Michigan University, and one of his prime areas of focus being radio drama. That's what we're talking about today, and the suspended, possibly resuming project up at Beaver Island. And Will, down my little list of thoughts and notes here was getting into the area of your own writing and wondering if this would, as we move forward, if some of the things that you have begun to create or think about would take on COVID-19 related themes. And so I guess I move this up the list to say, if you're able to take this honors project back to Beaver Island, do you think that the thematic material that will be coming from the students may be kind of redirected and focused at all with at least some connection to the extraordinary times we are coming through and certainly have come through to date?
I think it's quite possible. I am fascinated to see what's going to happen with students, even in the classes I teach. I teach an advertising copywriting class where we write radio commercials and TV commercials. And I'm really interested right now when students are doing storyboards. Are they going to have drawing actors wearing face masks? Because right now that is kind of the norm that we see on commercials. You can tell commercials that were pre-pandemic versus were produced post March, and you know it's very common now. You'll see a used car place, or you'll see a restaurant or anything, and people will have face coverings on. So it's a fascinating point of time we're in. I don't know what the long-range implications will be for students down the line. I know we're living in a very historic time, and so I think it's more my job probably to sit back and say, well, how is this going to shake out? And look at it almost like a someone writing down history and trying to capture it, rather than saying, well, how do you people think you should do it? So short answer, David, I don't know.
If we look at the idea of the thematic content and so forth, and even how things are presented, when you were talking about, you know, the context of pre-March, post-March, and knowing the difference, I immediately had this flashback to, you know, advertisements that would have been made, you know, by bonds and all these things that would have been geared around the war efforts in years past. And obviously now things centered around this whole idea of social distancing and public health and keeping people healthy. Staging anything, even if we're talking about a play in that might not even have a COVID-19 related theme, do you think that the way things are staged, and I realize we're talking about radio drama, but just even the context of how some of these things are put together, especially if you're presenting them in front of any type of audience, how will that potentially change?
Well, it's fascinating in that as horrible as this pandemic has been, it has been very useful for audio drama. Audio drama is making a huge comeback in ways that I could not have foreseen. I've been trying to promote the genre for the past 20, 25 years, and suddenly I've seen more and more theatrical groups that are doing audio dramas live via Zoom. I have one of my scripts. I sought out a troupe down in Marietta, Ohio, and they'd been doing old audio drama scripts as part of their community theater. And I said, well, I've got some new ones if you want. And I sent them some. And so they're performing one of my works on Zoom tonight. And it's becoming more and more common to see this. I spend a lot of my time just trying to promote and get people to seek out interest. And I've sent out 4 queries this week on people who are doing live audio drama now for either podcast or for performance. And I've gotten 4 replies back saying, yes, we're interested. Send us scripts. We want to talk to you. We're passing your Vita on, and it's fascinating. It's theatrical groups. There was one in Moline, Illinois. There was one down in Texas. There was one over by Traverse City. And usually I send these things out, and I tend to have a 1 in 7 response rate about what, you know, for whatever I try to promote, maybe 1 person out of 7 will get back to me. And this has just been bang, bang, bang. And it's been fascinating. And another very cool thing that this pandemic has allowed me to do is research into doing audio dramas totally in post-production, where I have actors record their lines using whatever technology they have, iPhones or if they have microphones somewhere, but they're in remote locations. And then I ask them just to send me their lines, and then I have a very talented editor, Lucas Nunn, who is assembling them in post, almost like a quilt work, putting the lines together. And so the actors never even see each other. They never even work with each other. And we've done some really fascinating work with that. So I think what it is the audio drama is really having some great movement forward during this. And it's becoming every time that I try to promote this, I seem to get more people saying, wow, I think audio drama is really neat. I had not realized what this is. It's kind of like black and white photography. Once you get people seeing it and you go, well, I do black and white photography, it's like, oh, I haven't thought about that because everything's always color. I really like the depth and I really like the contrast. Audio drama is the same sort of thing. It's something that's like people say, I hadn't thought about it. Wow, what a neat creative outlet. And it's gaining a lot of fans and it's gaining a lot of traction.
Along with these types of projects and different approaches that you've been talking about, and looking at how the Beaver Island project can be brought to full fruition, hopefully in 2021, have there been other pursuits, whether they were things that you were wanting to do anyway, COVID or not, that you've continued to do, or things that have been that you've continued, although perhaps changing them in light of the circumstances of COVID-19? Touch on a couple of those other possible related project ideas.
Well, I have a really, really neat project that is almost completed. That's going to be unveiled on the CMU campus later this fall, hopefully in October. I worked on one project that I came up with back in 2015, where using my odd parlor trick of creating historic vignettes for people and locations and dramatizing them and turning into audio dramas, I came up with the idea that it would be really neat if I created a series of audio dramas for landmark CMU buildings that would try to frame what was CMU, what was Mount Pleasant like in the time that the building itself was created. And I pitched this to do, and so I picked 5 landmark buildings, like Warner Hall. When that was built in 1928, it was the Educational Service Building. The Administrative Service Building. And what were people talking about in 1928 when that building opened? You know, if you think about it, it was probably, oh, that Herbert Hoover, 23 Skidoo, boy, the 20s are really roaring, all that sort of stuff. What was Mount Pleasant like? And so I created a series of about 5 to 8 minute vignettes for 5 campus buildings. I did Warner Hall, I did the Music Building, I did Moore Hall, which is a main classroom building. I did the Biosciences Building, which is our high-tech, state-of-the-art bio building that was built in 2017. And I did one for the Student Activity Center. And I wrote these scripts up. I went and I researched them. So I went back and I read Central Normal Life all through 1928. And what were people talking about? What were the things on people's minds? And I crafted these scripts. And then it was really neat. I had them. And I was going to record them, and I went around and saying, asking CMU celebrities and CMU people if they would be interested in being involved in my audio dramas. And so it's really neat. I have President Davies, who appears in one. He acts as the narrator in the beginning, and then he acts as himself In another one, I have a number of CMU personalities who are acting. I was able to say, you know, would you be involved with this? And so I recorded them. And then what we're going to do is, I don't know if people are aware of L. Wildey, but he is famous for doing photographic compositions of buildings. And I'm on pretty good terms with him. And I said, hey, Al, would you be willing to make some photographic compositions of these buildings? And then I incorporated a QR code, those little box sort of things that look like a UPC code. And it's really neat. We're going to put them up in the respective buildings. And so people will be able to scan them with their phones when they're going on a tour or whatever and get these little background bits about CMU and CMU history. And it's just, it's great because, like I said, it's a project I've been working on for 5 years. And fortunately, we had the actors come in. I think the last actors came in the day before we shut down the campus. So we were just lucky enough to get everyone recorded, and then we were able to assemble this. But this project is set to go, and it's going to look beautiful, and it's going to be great for people coming through on campus tours, and it's going to be a true point of pride and something that's utterly unique. Nobody else has it. So I'm really excited about that.
Well, the concluding thought then with you, Will Anderson, on all of this, if this project fortunately has come to a fruition and gets its launch because it was completed and just needed some editing and production work in the midst of COVID-19, which was certainly an allowable activity during all of that time, and the other things are being somewhat reshaped and perhaps will be redone and wrapped up, What are some of the things that you might be looking to or wanting to do? Is the focus on really aiming towards the wrap-up of that Beaver Island project, or are there other things that, if for any reason that is further delayed, how will you approach the work with your students in the semester that's just underway?
I think a lot of it is going to be, it's my hope the Beaver Island project will go on. It's my hope that everything will go back and we'll figure out how to navigate this, because I truly believe the project has a lot of merit and there's a lot of history, and audio drama is working really well to be a great avenue and forum for communicating this sort of information. In the meantime, I imagine I'm going to keep working on probably two fronts. I'll work on trying to get scripts that I have and work with theater groups that are doing podcasts and live productions of audio drama, and seeing, you know, how it's going to work, because they're doing it generally over Zoom, and everyone is, you know, phoning their lines in from different places. It'll be interesting to see how that all works and see if there's any issues with latency or figuring out if it's best to have people block off their screens so you don't see them acting or not. Or maybe the watching people acting and reading is part of the excitement. It's totally new, taking audio drama, which didn't usually have a visual element, and incorporating this visual element and stage action. The other thing that I'm really putting my focus on now is, how can we use the current technology that people have, such as iPhones, to record lines and then assembling them in post, and seeing if we can make it that you can create a viable and entertaining and aesthetically pleasing project. So far, with the work I've done, I worked on one script this summer with three actors, and we put it together and then did the sound effects and music. And so these actors never saw each other, but we knitted it together, and it came out to be a pretty amusing sort of work. I'm going to continue probably work on that, because it helps shape what we're dealing with in the School of Broadcast and Cinematic Arts. Our news broadcasts right now are being done, at least last semester, they were done remotely, students going out and using their cell phones to capture information. Then they would do their stories, they'd do stand-ups, and we'd assemble it for to create a newscast. And I think you're seeing more and more of that in the mainstream media. And so I think it's important to figure out and establish how do we do this, establish a normalization of this is the way things go, and trying to figure out if there's an audience for it.
Looking at how the circumstances of COVID-19 have forced everybody to change, in some cases, what they do, in certainly many more cases, how we can continue to do things that we have been doing, I think there is the silver lining that when we emerge on the other side of this, there could well be some other circumstance that changes everything, puts everything on its head, as this time has done. But the students that can emerge out of this now with a skill set that allows them to adapt, they may have to adapt in a completely different way, but having gone through this experience, and even as you continued with students down the road, to look at how things sometimes unexpectedly on a dime need to be changed, that experience alone, just bringing together that okay, crisis or change of circumstance, how do we think outside the box, how do we get this back up and going as soon as we possibly can, that has got to be an invaluable gift, if you can call it that, that comes out of this whole situation that we've been going through. And it will, despite all the things that students haven't been able to do, it's something that they can carry with them that will be a very unique, as we said, skill set as they head out and start tackling whatever those pursuits will be that they want to do.
I agree with that. I mean, that's the best way of saying what I'm so excited about. We are living in an historic time right now. And so the fact that some of the work I've done in those vignettes I did, the school spirit ones that are going to go up at CMU, I did some of those, like I had President Davies come in and record his lines, and I had some where all the actors perform at the same time in the studio. But the one I did for the Student Activity Center, because I wanted it to be the cast to be alumnuses coming back to watch their child graduate and reliving the experiences and fun that they had at CMU, and you know the investment that they have of emotions and spirit, I was able to go out and I went and got a bunch of people who are established but no longer here. And I asked them to record their lines and then send them to me. And that's when I started working with, can I assemble this theoretically in post-production? They all got their lines into me, but that was in January I established that. And so when they got their lines in, all of a sudden we had that pandemic shutdown. And I said, wow, okay, before it was like people are 1,000 miles away and I can't really get them to come to the studio. Will you send it in? Now it's, I can't get out to people, and I can't bring people in. Can we continue working in post-production? And I think the answer is, with the technology, yes, it's completely viable. And the fact that I'm able to say, you know what, if the most interesting part about this is this was assembled during the pandemic, it's going to be a period in history that people are going to look back, and it affected and changed and impacted everyone's lives. And they'll go, wow, that was really neat, and it asks as a very nice, I don't know, bookmark for this period in time that we still, as humans, were creating, we were thriving, we were making the best we could of what we had. And so I'm really excited about what is being done. I wish it wasn't the circumstances, but instead of people just throwing up their hands and saying, you know, we can't do anything, people in the creative arts are bearing down, they're making creative, great stuff that I think is going to leave quite a legacy for things.
And it'll be great when we can all assemble as, whether we look at these things as performers, audience attendees, everyone wants to be back in the shared space to enjoy the art exhibit, to enjoy the performance of the dance, to enjoy the concert, to enjoy the theater. All of these things we certainly hope that sooner rather than later we get the chance to come back to what we know, because there is nothing that can completely replace that. But thankfully, as you've said, we have been able to rise above and find a way to not only simply make do, but really make do in a whole different way, find a different way to bring these creative processes to life, and open up some avenues for doing things in the future that may continue to be very, very viable, even when we do return to whatever the quote-unquote normal will be somewhere down the road. Will Anderson, congratulations on the perseverance and stick-to-itiveness to get around the circumstance to do the things that you've done. And best of luck, fingers crossed, that which was held up, the Beaver Island project, can come to fruition. And best of luck for all the projects to come in whatever circumstance we've got, COVID pandemics or not, as you continue to work with students at CMU. Thanks again so much for your time.
David, thank you so much. And I guess I just need to say, you know, I've had the idea. It's been so many people who have helped me along on the way. So, you know, I have hundreds of people to say, thank you for the belief in this whole thing. And so I certainly don't want to seem like I'm doing everything myself, because I certainly am not.
Well, we'll keep our, as we said, fingers crossed for all the things to come involving all the people, whether they be close by or remote, and we'll look forward to those projects down the road. Best of luck to you.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.